Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. I got my box of Cracker Jacks in hand. You know, they just don't put the surprises in those fun boxes like they used to, do they? Well, we can always fall back on Friday with Dave and Bethley Young and their weekly Q&A, can't we? So let's join them right now.
So here's another question. How do you govern Instagram with your children? And the mom that asks us this has sons.
You don't allow it.
That's the easiest way to govern Instagram.
It is.
The easiest way is not to allow it. Mm-hmm. However, if you make the decision that, you know what, we're going to allow our son, our daughter to have an Instagram account, I'd make several recommendations. One is make sure that they understand their responsibilities regarding social media. Mm-hmm. And for that, it probably is best for you to limit their time on it. You can set limitations on their phone to where at a certain time thing, it shuts down.
Right.
So you can set limits. And if you don't know how to do that, just do some research. Google it. How do you set limits on an app? Mm-hmm. And Apple especially is the one we're familiar with because we use the iPhones.
Right.
And we know how to just do all of those and set passcodes that you know, protect that.
Right.
But the other thing you can do, and this is what one of the parents had asked me about, how do you check up on the Instagram account of your children? Mm-hmm. And there are several ways. One is that you can just have access to their phone and have an agreement with your teenager, which I hope it's a teenager. Right. I wouldn't recommend Instagram accounts for children, you know, and I think even the limit on Instagram is listed at 13, isn't it?
I have no idea.
On some of the social media sites, mm-hmm. you have to be 17 or 13.
Right.
And yet, you know, a lot of people ignore that and just go that there's a reason these social media sites set these standards.
Right.
There's a reason why so many people in the tech world will not allow their children to have it because mm-hmm. of mental health issues.
Right.
Because of the emotional distraught it can cause, you know,
right.
there's a lot of reasons to be careful about it. But once you cross the line of letting your children have Instagram, mm-hmm. Then what you do is you mirror that Instagram on your own account.
Right.
And if you've never, make sure your children know you're doing that. My children
would know
that.
Be open about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be open that, hey, I'll let you have Instagram, but if you do, I have to have access to it on your phone mm-hmm. and I'm going to mirror it on mine so that periodically I can just log into your account on my phone.
Right.
And Instagram has actually made that very easy. Mm-hmm. If you go to your Instagram app and you go to the bottom right where it'll have, you know, your photo or whatever, you know, your picture is for your,
right,
you know,
for
ID.
Your page. Yes.
And you double tap on that or tap on that. It will open a new page. And at the top, it lists your Instagram name. Mm-hmm. And if you click on the Instagram name, it's at the upper top. It opens up another page that shows your account and it has one more thing in there. It says add account. Mm-hmm. And you just click on add account and then you can put in your child's Instagram account name and password.
Right.
And now you're logged into their account as well.
Right.
And so you can toggle between the two. Anytime mm-hmm. you go to the top and you tap on your name, it'll open the page at the bottom. And now it has your account, your child's account, and the add another account if
right.
you wish.
Yes.
And so, you know, when my children were at home, my grown children are on their own, so we don't do this, but I have a son at home that has an Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And so just periodically, I don't, you know, every day, it's not like every hour, it's like I'm trying to, you know everything about him. But mm-hmm. just because there's so many potential for danger, for damage, for, you know, ungodliness, for even pornography.
Right.
Then what we end up doing is, you know, periodically, I just switch over to his account. And just kind of take a quick look, you know, what's he searching? I'll just take a few things. What's showing up on his page mm-hmm. shows who he's following and what he's following, what's
right.
he searching. And as well, you know, just maybe check one or two or three of the messages. Mm-hmm. You know, do these look like just friends or is there somebody here that, you know, sends a red flag up for me as a parent?
Right.
And what you do about those things then, when there's a red flag, you have a conversation mm-hmm. and, or maybe even, you know, we have the right. When our kids are at home, if we feel like we need to, we'll just shut down your account.
Right.
So that's exactly, I mean, that's how we would always handle it. Do you mm-hmm. have any other thoughts there? Anything I'm overlooking?
I would just say that, you know, be discerning about whether your child is ready for Instagram. We had put kind of an established age of you have to be 18 before you can get social media in our home. But we also...
Actually with the boys, we did 17. So okay. That we can have a year with them before they went off to college.
Yes. So, well, around their senior year, I guess is what I should say there. And so that we did have time with them, but also just be discerning. You may have a 16-year-old that really could handle a social media account and be fine with it. You could have a 19-year-old who still really isn't ready, you know, and if they're still under your roof and under, and you're paying for their phone and everything, you do have the say-so. About that. So just be discerning about when you give them Instagram, and then don't blindly hand them the phone and say, well, I guess you're ready. Here you go. And never check up on them. Even if you don't toggle your account to theirs, you should from time to time be checking up on their social media account. Not that you don't trust your child. It's just that the perversion and wickedness of this world tries to find them for you. So,
and social media, moms and dads, it's just very addicting.
It is.
And if you're going to let your child, who's under your responsibility, have a social media account unfiltered, with no accountability, I will tell you that it is one of the most dangerous things you will do to your children in our generation.
Yes.
There is predators on those social media sites. Mm-hmm. There is pornography on those social media sites. There is bullying on those social media sites. And there's just a ton of philosophical lies and errors and all kinds of issues.
Yes.
And this is one area where you can't go into sleeper mode and just hand it to your child.
Yes.
And don't allow your kid to play the game about, hey, nobody else's parents check up on it. In our family, if you're going to have it, you have to be willing to give access to your account.
Yes.
And it's just not an option. You don't have to have social media, but if you're going to, if we're going to let you and you agree to it, you have to agree to our standards. Mm-hmm. And moms and dads, you got to talk that through, and then you have to make sure you're working it, because it is easy to overlook things that are damaging the hearts that are really, you know, devastating sometimes to a kid.
Right.
Bullying. And
don't
and
live
porn.
In fear of it. Just be aware of it. And if you have a difficulty, if an issue comes up, have a conversation with them, and you can always just delete their account.
You can delete their account, or you can take the issues that come up as opportunities to disciple, train, train, talk.
Absolutely.
And it does work. And it's a super, super important thing. So that was a really good question. Anything else you would add to that?
I would just add, be aware of the time. Social media, even as an adult, it can just suck you in and you just sit there for a long time. You think, oh, I'll just be on this for 10 minutes and 45 minutes later. So just be aware of the time with your child so that they can, it can be a good tool to teach them to prioritize. Well, let's get this and this done. And then you can look at your Instagram.
Sure. Absolutely important. Well, we have two more questions. Let's see if we can get to them.
Okay.
Would you let your kids attend a youth group service at a different church than the one you attend? And this was brought up to us in a question, and I thought it was a decent question. As our, you know, some churches are smaller and there's no youth there.
Right.
And yet we love the church because we're learning God's word there, or it's our home church, or it's where we've always gone, and there's no reason for us to leave, but our children are not advancing as well, or are longing to have other friends. So this one family had reached out to us because their children had wanted to go to a different church because there was no youth at their church, and it was just a Wednesday night service. And so the question was, would you let your children go to a Wednesday night youth group service at a different church because there are no teens at your church?
Right.
And so how would you answer that? I think we're on the same page about it. So you start the answer.
Well, we haven't had to face that in our family, but we have dear friends who have. And our dear friends, I will say, do let their children go on Wednesday nights to the other church so that they can be with that youth group. And they also, their children serve in that ministry. So they're very close. They're friends with people in that church. And so it works out well for them. Mm-hmm. So because we haven't faced that, we had to kind of think this through. But if that church is a place where your child will learn the word of God, they are under a godly leader who will be teaching them the word of God, plus they will also have godly friends, I absolutely would do it. Because anything that is a help to our children, growing spiritually, is such a plus. It really is.
Yeah. So. And, you know, sometimes people can, you know, what do you do if the people at your church are like, I can't believe you're letting your children go over there?
Mm.
And that can be a strong thing. But I would say in that situation, if people are a little bothered, first of all, it's your children. You're responsible right. for them. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you just explain your reasons why. And if they understand, fine. And if they don't, fine. You answer to God for your children.
Right.
And you know, just say to people, say, you know what, our children just felt like they needed, I just felt like our children needed to be under a, you know, a youth group, a youth mm-hmm. pastor.
Yes.
And this is a way for our children to grow in an area.
Right.
Where they're not able to grow here at our church.
Right.
And you never want to be offensive to the people at your church.
No.
And yet you do want your children to grow in the Lord. So I think Bethley's right about that. I'd be apt to let our children do it.
Yes, I would. Now, I mean, obviously we would really check it out. It would have to be a church that we were very comfortable with standards over there or the teaching that was going to happen. We would have to know who the youth pastor was. We may sure. not be super close friends, but we would have to respect them and know that they are godly people. We would have to instruct our children. This is what we're going to allow you to do. We want to know everything that happens while
Absolutely.
You're there. We want to know the time it starts and the time it ends. We want to know what you're doing before and what you're doing after. And we need to be in contact, you know, if you're going to hang out afterwards with kids. So there would be a lot of different communication that would have to take place and maybe some guidelines, but I would let our yeah, kids do
that. I agree with that. I think it makes sense. And maybe one final thing to say about that is if it helps your children to be godlier and grow, let them. If it damages your children in any way, then I would say no.
Right.
Right. Okay. So we have time. Maybe just a quick answer on this one. There's a question that was sent to us. Here's a lady that has a daughter and she made a profession of faith in Jesus at the age of 5. Now she's almost 8. And they've gone through a lot as far as they've talked with her about how to be saved and how that it's eternal security and how she can grow and how she's important to God. They've memorized verses. They do family devotions and so forth. And yet this parent said that she feels like it's sometimes it's hard for her to feel like she's doing enough in discipling her daughter. Mm-hmm. And her question was, you know, is there something that would be helpful as I try to help my daughter? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just probably a good question to end on. It's about discipling our children. And these folks feel like they're doing, to me, seems like they're doing a lot. Do you agree?
I do. I think if you're having devotions with your children, if it seems like this little one is probably in some type of Awana program or something where she memorizes verses. If you are talking with your child about the things of the Lord, just as you go through life, you know, as questions come up or things you're pointing her to biblical truth, you are discipling that child. So you don't have to live in fear of, oh, am I doing enough? I know this mom had also mentioned that all of the discipleship programs that she's looked into are for teens or adults. And, you know, I don't know if there is a discipleship program written for children. I'm sure there is. Mm-hmm. There may be through the Awana program or through Master's Club programs or something mm-hmm. like that. That would be certainly something we could check into. But I would also just say, if you're a godly parent who's living out the truths of the Word of God in your own life and then teaching them to your child, you are discipling your child.
Absolutely. And I would remind you of Deuteronomy 6, where he says the way we train our children is we teach them God's Word in real life situations.
That's right.
And so don't forget to do that. If you're walking through life, your children are in church, they're in Sunday school, they're growing in the Lord, you're having family devotions, you really are on the right track.
Yes.
And it's a good reminder to you parents that have children as they profess faith in Christ, don't take it for granted, go to work to train them.
Yes.
Teach them about baptism. Teach them about joining the church. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you know everything about it, there's so many resources available in our generation. Find good resources and use them. And honestly, it's just such a powerful thing to yes. train your children and disciple them in Christianity.
It's always nice to listen to the Youngs cover studies, but it's also good to listen to topics that you weren't expecting, isn't it? Well, tune in Monday as Dave and Bethley leave the subject of influences that kill potential in the Proverbs as they move on to the matter of emphasizing godly counsel and rejecting wrong counsel. This is your good friend Michael Barnett. If you need more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.